Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie.
That government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny? We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave. And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately?
Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. But what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
All right, hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for joining us today. Today is Wednesday. We'll have Amanda joining us here in just a moment. And if you out there in Radio Land want to be a part of the show tonight, the number is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation tonight. So with that, let's go ahead and bring Amanda in here. Amanda, welcome in.
Hello, hello. Good to be here on a Wednesday evening.
Oh, so what's the word on the street out there for you?
Well, I mean, we are seeing some weather changes. We're starting to move closer to summer. That's always a nice shift here in the desert. You have decent temperatures. Not too hot, not too cold, very temperate. I'm loving it. I'm done with my school semester until fall again, so I have to do grades for my students. But other than that, that's what's been keeping me preoccupied.
Okay.
How are you doing? Is the healing still on track?
Yeah, my doctor said he'd be shocked if I need another appointment after this Saturday.
Hey, that's what I like to hear. Was he very impressed with your healing so quickly?
Yeah, 2 months.
Wow. That's a far cry from, hey, we're going to have to cut off your limbs, and, oh,
yeah,
how about we cut off your toes, and now nothing.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
So, yeah, 2 months, because I was out of the hospital on March 1st.
Wow. Well, you showed them what can be done. Not that they would give you a lot of credit. They'll just chalk it up to a coincidence.
Well, a lot of it, too, is what you put in your body. So if there was an issue,
amen,
then I know how to somewhat solve it. I can't fix everything, but I can give myself a chance.
That's right. Well, that's definitely good news.
I was the only one, I think, that wasn't scared.
Oh. Well, yeah, obviously you had confidence in your abilities and knew that you'd be healed in no time. So now maybe everyone else can take a deep breath and sigh of relief.
Well, I'm not done yet. I have to officially get the discharge papers on Saturday.
Well, no doubt you will.
So I figured I might as well ask you, because I haven't talked to our friends Lance or Mrs. Bean. So if you just want to touch base and see what's up with them.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm surprised you haven't heard from Laura. But yeah, I will definitely reach out and see what's up.
Okay.
I know that
Lance
is pretty busy.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Oh, I was just saying, he actually has a job working on a movie set. They are filming a movie here in my area.
Oh, really?
He got a job. Yeah, he's in, as you know, he does the videography and cinematography, and so he's very much involved in that world. And the main location where they meet up to go on to different locations around here is just up the street from us. And so he's able to just, you know, take a 3-minute jaunt up the street and meet up, and then they're going all over. I think they're going to Moab in 2 weeks, I believe, or maybe it's even this next coming weekend. But so he's that bad on his mind. As far as Laura, I don't know. I haven't talked to her, so I'll have to see what's up.
Okay. Well, sounds good on my end here. So other than that, I do want to see if I can go to that Glenn Beck thing that he's doing in St. George. I need to know what dates they are, and when I go to the website, it says the page cannot be found. But he promotes it regularly.
That's interesting. Let me go to a community page. We'll go onto a community Facebook page and see if it's been announced there.
Okay, because I want to see how much the tickets are, and I want to figure out logistics and stuff because I would like to see that.
Yeah, makes sense. Let's see if there's anything coming up for him on this community page. The old stuff is coming up. Yeah, I wonder. I'm sure Laura would know because she's in the know with those kinds of things. If something's happening, she would be aware. But, Yeah, I'll see what I can find out. I haven't heard anything personally, but then again, I haven't been searching it out either.
So the big news story is still the same as earlier this week, where Tucker Carlson getting fired is the biggest story of the land.
Right. And do you think he kind of knew that was coming? Do you feel like that he was aware that what he spoke about probably wasn't in alignment with mainstream media, which Fox is mainstream media?
Well, and this is kind of strange, being that the dude is 92 years old, but Rupert Murdoch absolutely hates when people talk about God.
Okay.
And he was at an event, Tucker Carlson talking with the Heritage Foundation. Even though it was not a Fox event, he still brought up prayer, and that was enough for him. And second, being that he recently broke up with his girlfriend's favorite show ever was the Tucker Carlson show. And she also liked Dan Bongino. So he got rid of them too, possibly just because to get back at his girlfriend, which makes no sense as to why you're willing to give up your entire business. Because, face it, Tucker Carlson had the number one rated news show, and it wasn't even close. So why would you give up the number one news show on cable just because?
Right. So there had to be some sort of vendetta for that to happen. So Bongino's out as well?
Yes, they got rid of him, too.
Ah, interesting. All right, do you think
but everybody else is more controllable, though.
Yeah, makes me wonder, are they making an example out of them? This is what happens to you if you go too far into the truth side.
Yeah, but that's not to say Tucker Carlson can't, like, make his own thing.
Right. Glenn Beck did. Why not?
Yeah.
Not have your own program.
Yeah, he'll have to get back into it within the next 6 months or so, I think. But he, I don't think he'll sit on the sidelines that long.
Right. Yeah, I know he's pretty popular, and I know he has quite the following. So does Bongino. So does Bongino have something separate from Fox? I feel like he already
has his own
another
radio
platform.
Network thing. He does his own thing.
That's what I thought. So he's good.
Just some show notes. I might take tomorrow off.
Oh.
I'm behind on a lot of things, and I need a weeknight in order to do it.
Ah. I understand that dilemma. Do I ever? Well, that's good. I think you deserve a day off, a weeknight off to do things. Catch up.
Well, I try not to. I know I took a lot of time off for, those 2 or 3 weeks or whatever when I was out in the hospital.
Right. And I had no choice there, but here you are back with full vim and vigor.
So any news that you're following right now? We can talk Robert Kennedy if you want.
Yeah, let's do. I mean, I've definitely heard some stuff about him recently or some things that have been readdressed from his past. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I'll give my thoughts first, and if you want to follow.
Okay.
As far as Robert Kennedy goes, is he an upgrade over Brandon? Well, of course. However, for me, Robert Kennedy has two topics. He's anti-war and anti-gene therapy. And other than that, I know he really would be somebody that could push a green agenda, which I don't believe is something that I want to endorse. And I just don't know. I would love it if he ran as a Democrat. And if he won the nomination over Brandon for being a Democrat, I'd be very happy. But I'm still on the Trump train. I don't want to promote a Green New Deal, and I don't. I just think Trump is what we need right now. However, with that being said, if Robert Kennedy was Trump's vice president, I'd be very happy.
That's just about what I was going to ask. What would you think of them running together on the same ticket? You know, and if it is that Kennedy switches over to Republican Party, which I highly doubt he would, but I mean, perhaps that would be a good balance.
Well, it would show too that Trump can work with Democrats because he's going to use one as a vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And a legacy name like Kennedy, a Kennedy is well known as a Democrat family. So to be able to pull that off would be a lot. That would say a lot.
True.
So it's like radical leftist versus everybody else. And that's where we would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
go ahead.
I get where you're coming from for sure. And it wouldn't be hard to beat Brandon as far as, not just beat him in the polls, but I just mean have something of substance to stand for, something of substance that you represent. And I'm glad that Kennedy is in that position to at least address a couple of the topics that are of interest to me and many people in the world, of course. But I just keep seeing things like, you know, past the association with certain past presidential, so just with Hillary and other people in that same category. And comments that quotes from him that just seem so suspicious. Not that people can't change their minds, of course. As time goes on, people can change their minds.
Well, but remember, he's a Democrat, so you have to expect that.
Right. Right, yes. And it's hard to imagine that suddenly he'd be working in favor of those of us who are looking for freedom. I would hope so, but it's hard to imagine that.
Well, but the thing is that his audience is no longer Democrat.
Yeah.
So anybody, if you go to an anti-vaccine rally with 1,000 people, at least 750 of those 1,000 are going to vote Republican. And the rest of them will probably vote third party or not vote. You might have 12 that vote Democrat, if that.
Isn't that ironic? So ironic to me that, yeah, just surprising. But here we are.
Am I wrong?
I would.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. It's a surprising thought to see such a association, and I would imagine that he would have a more of a follower base if he were to run with Trump than alone. And maybe he would be able to change some of his stances on other things and be more right-leaning. It doesn't have to be full-on, I wouldn't say rhino, of course, but maybe some more right-leaning statements and stances.
So I look at Robert Kennedy as a traditional, classic, old-school Democrat.
Hmm.
In the same sense that Tulsi Gabbard was in the same boat. That type of old school classic Democrat has left the building.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be extremely radical and a fanatic in order to get with today's Democrat Party, and I just don't think Robert Kennedy, while I don't like a lot of his issues in regards to the Green Deals and things of that nature and who he associates with, but I don't see him as a radical.
Right. I agree with you on that for sure. He's not in that radical category for sure.
Yeah, he doesn't have to go to the 23-year-olds and ask what they want so that he knows what his policies are.
Right. Yeah.
But the one thing, though, about Robert Kennedy, and you could say this about Bernie Sanders as well, you know that they actually stand for something and they stand for a purpose, even if it's not a purpose I believe in. They believe in something, which is why Bernie Sanders had that following. People like the badge and Governor Grusom in California, if he runs, and Brandon, they don't stand for anything. You're only voting for them because, well, I don't like Republicans. There's not many people out there that are saying, man, Brandon is awesome. He's earned another 4 years. I can't wait to give him those 4 years. You're not finding many of those people. There are some polls that I've read that actually already have Robert Kennedy ahead of Brandon. And Brandon's strategy is we're not going to do any debates whatsoever, whether it's in the primary or the general. So,
oh, really?
He's going to take basement thing to a whole new level.
Wow. That's interesting. Hmm.
So you're strictly going to run on him being a Democrat.
Because we all know he can't stand up in front of a moderator and argue points with any other politician with any sort of coherency.
Yeah. Yeah, that would ruin him. So he has to hang out in the basement in Delaware.
Well, yeah, it'll be fascinating.
That will keep some of his base happy, though, because if they saw him, they wouldn't want him. So if they hide him, then maybe people just think, well, he's a Democrat. I got to vote for him.
Yeah. And there are plenty of those who just vote straight party lines. They don't take a moment to find out if the politician is actually going to represent them at all. They just want to fit in with the current thing.
Right. No, that's what we have.
Huh. Yeah.
So will there be enough votes for Brandon? And the question, and I've said this before, Trump needs 100 million votes in order to withstand whatever voter fraud there is, because if there's only 160 to 170 million registered voters, you can't have two candidates get over 100 million votes. It would be too obvious.
Yeah.
So if it's within 10%, they can steal it. But they will not have Brandon getting 102 million votes. It's impossible. Brandon's not going to pick up 19 million more votes than he did last time. I think Trump could. Trump could pick up quite a bit.
Yeah?
There are
I would imagine
people that
so.
Did not vote for Trump that will this time.
Right. That's for sure.
Especially with garbage like what Brandon signed off on, and I don't remember having congressional approval with this, but what he's doing with the bad credit versus good credit. So if your credit if your credit score is too high, then when you get a new loan, you're going to pay an extra tax. And those that have terrible credit scores will get a lower interest rate.
Yeah, I was going to bring that topic up and ask you what, you know, sorry, my window's open, motorcycles. How are they trying to push this off as a good thing? Like, you have a good credit score, you're going to be punished. How are they packaging that as though that's something people will think is a good idea?
Well, they figure nobody will complain. People will just pay it. They don't want to lose what they have. They'll just pay it.
Okay. Yeah. I was trying to find
anything
that...
In other words, people are suckers.
Yeah. I was trying to find anything that actually gave a reason why this would be something that Americans would want. Like, oh, this is such a great idea. This could do such and such. But I couldn't find anything beneficial other than if you have a poor credit score, then someone with a good credit score is going to be punished for your poor credit score. That's all I could find. Nothing good, nothing reasonable.
Right.
It's ridiculous, and I can't believe that's even something that would be proposed in the first place. Like, wouldn't that make 90%
of
Americans
upset? And now that
I'm
age 50, I'm at the best credit of my life, and now I'm going to be punished for it.
Exactly.
The last time I looked at my credit, my FICO was at 723.
Oh, yeah. It's right up there. Yeah, it doesn't seem like... I mean, of course, the credit score is crap anyway, but even so, that was supposed to be something that proved that you were reliable and worthy of whatever other loan you wanted or you name it, mostly just getting another loan. But now it's going to just be... Nobody wants a good credit score.
Yeah, we can't give you a loan. Your credit's too good.
Yeah.
Let me give it to the person that's never paid a debt in their life and they're 48 years old.
Yeah. Those poor souls, they just have terrible credit. We better make sure that they can get some kind of mortgage that's way out of their ability to pay. Wow. Talk about the upside down world.
Yeah, well, maybe he thinks that they'll get more votes that way.
Yeah. Yeah, the last thing I want is any kind of government funding, any kind of government program. I don't care what it is. That's the last thing I want. As soon as you get involved or you get some kind of leniency or anything from the government, you are beholden to them. They own you.
Well, yeah, that's the idea.
Yep. And I won't do it.
So, did you have any more about Robert Kennedy while we're here?
I wanted to know your opinion on it because right now I'm seeing a lot of stuff coming up. So, really what I wanted to hear was what you thought of it because I'm skeptical. I usually am when it comes to politicians, but I just, in general, don't trust them to actually follow through with what they're saying. And as much as I have been a proponent and supporter of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., his calling out Fauci and calling out the gene therapies and that, I want to believe that he is authentic in his stance. But I've seen too many times when a politician, even though he hasn't been a politician, he's been a lawyer, which, you know, puts him in a different kind of untrustworthy category, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But too often they will have one stance, and as soon as the pressure is applied by, the evildoers, the people behind the scenes, or their true colors come out, either way, it's really hard for me to get behind someone feeling like they're going to just turn their back on it or turn it into something that benefits them as a politician and has no benefit for the people. So I'm very skeptical of his motives right now. I'm trying to collect more data, trying to collect more understanding around that.
So did you have any other thoughts on what I gave my analysis of?
No, I think you're right. I agree with you on that. So it was
you
good
could
to
be
hear
wrong.
You sound.
I want to hear more. I don't want to hear I'm right. So if you have anything else.
I was looking for your take on it because you do a lot of research in this topic, especially when it comes to politicians.
Yeah.
So I did want your thought on that because, like I said, I'm just uber critical, and he could be on the up and up, and I just won't see it because it annoys me. But
being said, he's probably the best Democrat candidate if they really want to win the Democrat election without fraud.
Right.
With that being said, I know Barry Satoro and his husband, Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady, they're supposed to be going to Kenya for a year. So that means that pronoun will not be trying to knock on doors and do campaign speeches. Heavy rumor is that pronoun is not interested at all, but they could be talked into it by globalists, but if that person had an opportunity to say no, they will.
I see. Okay. So he's going home to his homeland, huh? Going home to visit his, where he was born.
Yes, Barry Satoro, yes.
Right. Got to go home. So sounds like they are going into hiding of some kind. I mean, that's almost what it sounds like to me.
You could
going
say
into
that.
Hiding. Yep. So, well, okay. Then I guess that takes them out of the picture, which is nice. I'm okay with that.
Don't yeah, and then you got Governor Newsom, but I don't know if enough people would be interested.
I sure hope not. As much as I distrust Kennedy, I 100 times more distrust Gruesome. Anything that comes out of that weirdo's mouth,
see,
with
I just
his
don't
weird
feel
voice.
Like Kennedy would be pulling the wool over my eyes. I think he is who you see.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I mean, I've heard him make some really good arguments in favor of transparency, especially when it comes to the government. And I think in his specific lawyer world, environmental lawyer, I think that's been good to hear from him on certain aspects of things, like there is no public health. It's good to hear a lawyer say that. But at the same time, is he going to push a Green New Deal like you had mentioned. Yeah, it's not really sure. And then, of course, we know his wife is absolutely out there 100% in what she believes. And I'm not sure how that works at home. Like, how do you do that? I don't know how he does that or if he actually is doing that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
So, yeah, it's hard to really put my faith in that is all I'm saying. And I'm going to, I guess, withhold final judgment until I can see if he's going to show any other colors.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I hope. I do hope.
Well, my judgment's not going to change. I feel like I've already kind of – I know what I'm getting if it became that.
Right.
And with that being said, is it worth it to switch to Democrat Party for primary voting purposes and vote for Kennedy and not Brandon?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know the answer to that either.
Yeah, good question. You know what I do? I end up writing in either the person that I feel most comfortable with, even if they're not running, or
Nevada doesn't have write-ins.
Ah. So even for presidency, you can't write a name in?
Right.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, so in that case, unless I was 100% convinced, I would abstain.
Well, I know what I'm getting with Trump. So he would get my vote. I'm not – once DeSantis started hanging out with the Bushes and Karl Rove and all that, he came off my scorecard.
Yep, same.
And there's nobody else, unless Rand Paul was to run again, but I don't know about that.
Doesn't seem likely, does it?
No.
Yeah, he would get my vote. Rand would definitely get my vote. He's definitely fallen in line with most everything that I would say. That is definitely someone who I feel like would follow through on what they say. But well, I don't know. Again, it's a politician thing for me. The disdain is there for me. And anyway, that's why I would abstain. And we'll see. Again, I'm just going to say, for me, it's a wait and see if anybody comes out with something else that either wins me over or totally loses my vote. All I can say is for sure not DeSantis and definitely not Gruesome. Oh, ever.
But that's something to consider, though. Is it worth changing your political party for a primary and then switching it back right after you vote?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you could be registered as a Republican but vote for a Democratic candidate. Is that true?
No, I'm saying that you switch like 30 days before your primary to a Democrat voter so you could vote in the primary. And then
I see.
After that, after the primary, then you switch back.
I've never thought of doing that because I've been independent for most of my adult life. Well, all of my adult life, I've registered as independent. And so I didn't even think about switching that up for primary.
Yeah, but then you don't get to vote in the primary, though, unless there's two libertarians running.
Yeah. And I've only voted libertarian once because most of the time they are dumb. They're not. They say they're libertarian, but then their stance is like, what? Not even in alignment. So, yeah. Anyway, I wish for a voluntarism. Am I saying that right? Voluntarism. I would wish for that. We'll put it that way. The voluntarism. I'm not saying it correctly, but I would wish for that.
Yeah, I just don't think that would ever work, though.
No, probably not, but I would wish for it. It'd be nice not have to... It'd be nice not to have so many overlords, we'll put it that way. But in the meantime, here we are.
Well, I just think, though, that if we just had a society where it wouldn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat, we just need the big, the elites to be out of our out of our lives. And I think we'd be fine. It's just that the 1,900 or so elites and their families, they run the world.
Yep. The truth of it. Unfortunately.
If we had Donald Trump types on a regular basis, then we wouldn't have to worry about voluntarism because everybody would be doing halfway decent.
Yeah. Well, we could always hope for something else to come about, but perhaps it's just a matter of we're going to go along with things as they are in the hope that eventually things, certain things will collapse. Certain things can collapse so that there can be a reset of a better kind.
Well, our reset, not Klaus Schwab's reset.
Exactly. Our style of reset. That would be nice. But we know that anytime the evil doers have their turf tread upon and they feel threatened, then that's when they pull out their best false flag.
And we're all waiting for it.
Yep.
That's sad that we already know their game plan and we know what they're going to run.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say something just like that. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Isn't that sad that we just know? But again, they keep showing us what their motive, what their MO is. So of course we're going to expect it. Those of us who are paying attention to it, I'll never say woke again. So not saying woke. Those of us who are just paying attention.
Speaking of woke, may as well get it out of the way now.
Mm.
I don't know if you saw it yet.
Is it Broccoli Man you're speaking about?
Yeah.
Did I watch it? No, I was having a hard time logging into Rumble this last time. I don't know why it asks me for my password every time.
Oh.
No, I have not seen it yet, so.
Okay. Well, let me know when you're ready, and we'll do it.
Yep. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. All right, so I'll count down. 3, 2, 1, action.
Hey broccoli person, I hate you so much. You are the something ducker of the year.
Hey, that's great. You can hate whomever you like.
You are not loving and liberal like me. You are just a dumb proof negative listener. You do not wear scabs on your face. That means everyone knows you are just a dumb Republican and not loving and liberal. You need to put a bloody scam on that face.
Didn't you see all of the hundreds of studies that show that scam wearing seriously harmed your health? Especially with children. Many kids now have speech problems from wearing scams and their parents scam wearing too.
That does not affect me. I don't have any children. I also am vegan. I am a trans. And I also always vote Democrat because I am loving and liberal.
Wearing scams affects everyone.
It does not affect me because I vote Democrat. You do not do drag queen story time, so of course you are not considered human. Why do you not want us to diddle children? Even the United Nations says it is time to allow children of all ages to enjoy sexual relations. Why do you want to take rights away?
Children are not old enough to decide for themselves for what is right. No society in history has had X-rated be allowed and they stayed as a superpower. God dishes out punishment very harshly when you corrupt the children. Plus, I will arrest you for doing so.
You do not have the right to stop any kids from doing whatever they want with their bodies. If they want to whack their weenies off, they need to have the right to do so. It is loving and liberal. As long as an adult gives consent, it should be acceptable.
Haven't you heard of no means no?
No means no is only for trans rights. You are not allowed to tell us what restroom to use. You also are not allowed to tell us to put our junks back in our pants. It is our right to be naked in front of children.
That sounds like a huge no-pathon. So help me, if you have children touching your junks, you are going behind bars for many years.
That is it, you something ducker. I am going to tell the media how racist and genderist you are. You should be arrested for not letting trans women compete in women's sports.
It is not fair for women who were born women to have to compete with those who were born as dudes. They have different chromosomes and different muscle sets.
You are a dumb business who was too cisgendered to know the facts. If genderist people like Riley Gaines do not want to compete against trans women like Leah Thomas, they should start their own league.
They already have one. It is called women's sports.
Why are you Trump supporters so obsessed with having junks? You are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs for not wanting to whack off your weenies or have your ovaries removed. I am extremely smart. I believe everyone hauled of their genders removed from their person when they are born. No ifs and or buts.
But that means that humanity will be extinct without new population being born.
If there is no more population, that does not affect me. I was already born, you ignorant piece of ish.
Without men and women, there will no more humanity. You need both genders to keep procreating and to make sure the earth still has population.
You something ducker. That is so genderist. There are billions of genders now. And you want to say they're bees is only two. By the way, you need to get it straight in your brainless skull that two men can have a baby if they want. A man can get a woman pregnant, and you are just an angry person for not allowing trans women in women's sports. Even Michael Robinson Obama agrees that Leah Thomas is a great trans swimmer. And Michael Robinson Obama is such a nice lady. When you do not allow us to get freaky with the children and go into any restroom we choose, we will shoot you down. You adults need to be eradicated and wiped off the face of the earth. You are way too violent.
Please explain how you are calling us violent for not wanting you to corrupt our children and to not mess with their genders. But if we say no, you want to shoot everyone and burn their houses down. Isn't Antifa the most violent organization in the United States?
You are a something ducker and a liar. Even CNN says Antifa does not exist. And they said that Antifa is a peaceful organization. The worstest violent people in America is you fools who believe in prayer. We need to put you people in a FEMA camp for wanting to have a religion. Even though FEMA camps do not exist.
Why are you wanting to do away with people for having a religion of their choice?
If you have a religion, that does not affect me. I am an atheist.
Maybe you need a religion so you can know what is wrong.
You people that have a religion are always so angry. You conservatives are never happy. You something duck hairs have too many kids and too many guns. We need to use our Second Amendments to shoot you fools because you are way too violent, and if you do not agree with us, you racist white people are killing black people in droves.
Why is it you do not know the worst killings are in big cities in Chicago? And they are black on black crime.
See? I knew it. You have to bring race into everything. That is why you are too racist and need to be put in that FEMA camp. Even though they do not exist. You are also a speciesist for believing that the earth should still have humans on it. All the globalists are smart when they say the Earth needs to get rid of humans.
Doesn't that mean they are coming for you also?
If they want to kill humans, that does not affect me. I have a Lysenica Freedom microchip. We also need to kill all animals, plants, and even chop down all the trees and bury them in the ground. We need to save the planet. I am glad they are starting to ban rice. Rice uses water. We are also finna ban cows and make them extinct.
Without rice, over half the planet will starve. More billions will starve without meat products. How do you think people are supposed to feed themselves without meat, rice, or vegetables?
If the whole world starves, that does not affect me. I said I am a trans and a vegan. Why are you not proud of me?
Just because you choose to eat junk food and drink soda, does not make you healthy.
You ignorant dolt. I said I am a trans and a vegan. So I am healthier than you. And I also show my junks to the kids for drag queen story time. So my social credit score will not be affected. I even put a Brandon and Kamala bumper sticker on my iPhone so everyone knows I am loving and liberal.
Hey everyone. We need to stop letting these liberals run society. If we do not stop them, we will all be turned into a pile of rubble and humanity will die.
You need to shut your soup hole right now, you loser. If you do not allow us liberals to run your lives, then we will be stuck still having humans, plants, and trees on Earth.
That is exactly my point. We all need to learn how to say no and quit giving in to liberalism or our society will be completely dead. Please, check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and keeps everyone up to date on all the latest news to help fight against the New World Order. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. Also check the schedule for the other shows on freedomizerradio.com.
I would never ever check out the Proof Negative radio show. I am too loving and liberal. He does not believe in the communist agenda. That makes him a fascist and a communist. You all need to listen to our communist agenda or else we will call all of you fascists and communists. You all need to learn that you will all be Z-eating Z-bugs and owning Z-nothing by the year 2030 or else. We need to get rid of humanity to of humanity.
All right, so hope it was okay.
Yes, but... So, liberal person vegan, but let's point out that you can't eat bugs and be vegan. There we go. And just in defense of myself, you can't be pushing the bugs and also be a vegan. So, yeah.
I was wondering that myself.
That's just basically how they're using any kind of catchphrase or cool term or... Just like how woke used to meme that people are awake to the agenda, now it means something else. Same with this whole, well, we're going to have you eating bugs, but we're also going to be pro-vegan, but those two are not the same. You cannot have the, they're completely exclusive from each other.
But other than that, I like... If no one else can be born, that would not affect me. I was already born.
Right. Yeah, thank goodness that liberal person's parents were okay with carrying it first to term. That's good. He was born. But no, I appreciate that. Broccoli Man always defends the children. That's one of his
He's
number one concerns.
Kids.
Right.
All right, so there's a Tucker Carlson video that came out just a couple hours ago. And I want to see if we can play it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know he was putting anything out. We need to hear what he has to say.
All right, it's about 10 minutes, so we'll listen in.
fit.
I've spent my whole life in the media. My dad was in the media. Like, that is a big part of the revelation that's changed my life, is the media are part of the control apparatus. Like, there's no...
How's everybody doing? My name is Anthony Brian Logan, and today I bring you an update on the Tucker Carlson departure from Fox News. Now, when I first covered this story, I didn't really know if he had been fired, if he resigned, if there was a mutual split. I didn't know exactly what happened, but now I think I know what happened. He most likely has been fired by the big dog himself, Rupert Murdoch, the guy who owns Fox News, New York Post, that guy. And there may have been a woman involved. Now, I'm not saying Tucker did anything inappropriate with a woman, but there was a woman involved here, and that may have caused him to get fired. Now, we're going to get to all that evidence in a moment, but first, here is the first piece of evidence that lets me know Tucker was fired. Now, you see the headline here, Tucker Carlson and Don Lemon hire a top Hollywood lawyer. They have the same lawyer, because remember, Don Lemon just got fired from CNN the other day. He was speaking out on Twitter talking about, I'm shocked, I had no idea, all this and that and the third. He's lawyered up, so has Tucker. Now, if you quit a job, if you resign, and it's not really a thing like, okay, you weren't really pushed out, there was no pressure to leave, you just quit on your own, why would you hire a lawyer? You hired a lawyer because there was some funny stuff going on, and there was not a mutual amicable split, okay? So that lets me know that he was fired. And this kind of goes into what I was saying about Tucker and Don Lemon possibly swapping places, okay? Some guys may say, hey, man, you're crazy. Don would never go to Fox. Tucker would never go to CNN, but why not? Tucker used to work for CNN back in the day in the early 2000s. From 2000 to 2005, Tucker worked at CNN, and then he went from there to MS-13 DNC from 05 to 09, right around that time. And then he came to Fox in 09 to right now, 2013. So it wouldn't be that far-fetched for him to go right back to CNN where he started. You know, they got a new guy, the new head honcho over there, Chris Licht, and he's getting rid of a lot of the old talent, the Chris Cuomos and all these people. Little Brian Stelter, now Don Lemon. Why not bring on Tucker Carlson? And then, as far as Don Lemon being on Fox, I mean, that wouldn't be a big stretch. Okay, you got two LGBT people, right? You have Don Lemon, and then you have Caitlyn Jenner. Now, who's more of the conservative, Don Lemon or Caitlyn Jenner? You tell me. Just by hearing those two names, knowing how they are, how they operate, or whatever, how they live their lives, who's more conservative? I'll wait, but I digress. So that's that part. And here's another part of it. Now, they're saying that Tucker may have been fired because of this woman right here. Now, that is not who I was speaking about when I said there was a woman involved. Maybe I should have been more correct. There are women involved in this case, but I think there's one woman who may have sealed Tucker's fate. Now, this person right here is suing Fox, talking about, oh, there was a hostile work environment, all this and that, and the third, and she is implicating Tucker in this. But from what I was able to read, she never even met Tucker Carlson. All she was a booking agent who worked remotely. So when guys or girls will come on the show, they might have to call her office. She might be able to get things going. And she may have heard some things on the phone from people that were coming on the show, possibly, potentially, perhaps. But that doesn't mean that's Tucker's fault, nor does it mean Tucker fostered a negative work environment. She never even met Tucker. How are you going to tell me that there was a negative work environment when we never even met? You work at the house. What's negative? Are your cats scratching you to death? Is that the negative part? What's that got to do with me? Train Dior, your pit bull puppy, and your 14 cats how to operate in the house, okay? But I digress. This has been mentioned as part of it, but I don't think that's exactly what is the driving force. Now, let's look at this article right here. LA Times, Tucker Carlson departs Fox News, pushed out by Rupert Murdoch. As I said, the big boss pushed him out. Rupert Murdoch is 92 years old, so his sons, daughters, or whatever are making a lot of the decisions, and they his family members were allegedly the ones that were behind the actual ousting of Tucker. But it was at the behest of Rupert himself. Now, here is a little bit of information from Vanity Fair. Take it with a grain of salt. I just showed you LA Times about Rupert Murdoch. Here's another source implicating him, but there's a different little a theory going on. Now, again, it's Vanity Fair. Take it with a grain of salt. But I think this makes sense, because why else would you fire the top anchor on television? And if I'm wrong about that part, y'all let me know in the comments below. Who is the bigger anchor to Tucker Carlson on Fox, on television at all? On Fox, of course, he's the biggest anchor, or he was. But on television, who? Rachel Maddow? Who are we talking about? Anyway, let's get into the new theory about why Tucker may have been fired. Let's read it. A new theory has emerged. According to the source, Fox Corp Chair Rupert Murdoch removed Carlson over remarks Carlson made during the speech at the Heritage Foundation 50th Anniversary Gala on Friday night. So this just happened. All right, remember, his last show was Friday, April 21st, 2023. And then he gave the speech, I guess, after the show that night, I suppose. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. And then I guess he was fired right there on the spot. That's why it was such a shock. Nobody knew. It came as a surprise, all this and that. That is what I'm reading, but let's continue. Carlson laced his speech with religious overtones that even Murdoch found too extreme. The source, who was briefed on Murdoch's decision-making, said Carlson told the Heritage audience that national politics has become a Manchean battle between good and evil. Carlson said that people advocating for transgender rights and DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, programs want to destroy America, and they cannot be persuaded with facts. Quote, we should say that and stop engaging in these totally fraudulent debates. I've tried. That doesn't work, unquote, he said. The answer Carlson suggested was prayer. Quote, I have concluded it might be worth taking just 10 minutes out of your busy schedule to say a prayer for the future, and I hope you will, he said. That stuff freaks Rupert out. He doesn't like all the spiritual talk, the source said. Let's get to the next part here. Here's where the woman comes into play. And again, I'm reading Vanity Fair, take it with a grain of salt. Rupert Murdoch was perhaps unnerved by Carlson's messianism because it echoed the end times worldview of Murdoch's ex-fiance and Leslie Smith. The source said, yes, 92 years old with the ex-fiance that he just recently got divorced from or broke up with or whatever. I think that might have been his fifth wife. I mean, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, in my May cover story, I reported that Murdoch and Smith called off their two-week engagement because Smith had told people Carlson was, quote, a messenger from God, unquote. Murdoch had seen Carlson and Smith discuss religion firsthand. In late March, Carlson had a dinner at Murdoch's Bel Air Vineyard with Murdoch and Smith, according to the source. During dinner, Smith pulled out a Bible and started reading passages from the book of Exodus, the source said. Rupert just sat there and stared. A few days after the dinner, Murdoch and Smith called off the wedding. By taking Carlson off the air, Murdoch was also taking away his ex-favorite show. You can't make it up. You can't make it up. So, Tucker may have been fired because Rupert Murdoch's ex-fiance liked his show. Hey, you know what? I'm going to show you. I'm going to take a show off the air. How about that? He don't really care. I mean, he's rich. It's like, so what? I don't care nothing about nothing. You like that show? I'll take you off the air. Now, might that be fake? It could be. But tell me the other reason why Tucker would get fired from Fox. Really, from Fox. I could see if he was speaking the way he speaks on CNN or MS-13DNC, but Fox? What he's saying fits there perfectly. Why would you fire your top guy? What's the reason? With no send-off, just a random... To be gone so abruptly makes me think and believe that there was a thing that we don't know about happening behind the scenes. And that right there, the woman and Rupert Murdoch being jealous about Tucker and being her favorite, that could have been the nail in the coffin. But I think I'll leave that right there for now. And what say you? How do you feel about what's going on here with Tucker Carlson? Do you think that the reason he got fired is because Rupert Murdoch and the woman and whatever your thoughts are, let me know in the comments below. How you feel about him going to CNN, perhaps? swapping with Don Lemon, is that too far-fetched? Is that outside of possibility? Whatever your thoughts are, let me know in the comments below. You guys know where I'm at. I think that this theory makes all the sense in the world. It makes a lot of sense. Could be wrong, but we're going to see. We shall see. I don't think Tucker will say anything because he has lawyered up. But that lawyer lets me know there's some funny things happening behind the scenes, and that story I just read could be the very funny thing happening behind the scenes. But whatever your thoughts are, please let me know in the comments below. And that's all I got to say for this video. If you like what you heard, please comment, rate, share, and subscribe. Peace.
All right. So that was an article about Tucker, but this is, I'll just share. He said he spoke for a couple minutes and it was on Twitter. So I was hoping that video would have that, but I'll just play it off my computer.
Okay.
Good evening. It's Tucker Carlson. One of the first things you realize when you step outside the noise for a few days is how many genuinely nice people there are in this country, kind of decent people, people who really care about what's true, and a bunch of hilarious people also, a lot of those. It's got to be the majority of the population, even now. So that's first. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. They're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we have them. Trust me, as someone who's participated. And yet, at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. War, civil liberties, emerging science, demographic change, corporate power, natural resources. When was the last time you heard a legitimate debate about any of those issues? It's been a long time. Debates like that are not permitted in American media. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it. Suddenly, the United States looks very much like a one-party state. That's a depressing realization, but it's not permanent. Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. The people in charge know this. That's why they're hysterical and aggressive. They're afraid. They've given up persuasion. They're resorting to force. But it won't work. When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink. They become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough. As long as you can hear the words, there is hope. See you soon.
All right. Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, I was expecting more. It ended abruptly.
Well, it was 2 minutes, so that's what he did.
Got it. Well, yeah, he's got a good head on his shoulders. I like what he has to say.
Yeah, I you know what? I tend to buy that story, though, about how... Mm-hmm. Rupert Murdoch was upset with his girlfriend, so he fired whomever, because money doesn't matter to those people.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it would make sense. I mean, if Tucker Carlson's going to move on to something more, to have more freedom for things, this would be a good avenue and get him kicked off, get kick-started in the right direction. Because if it's something like that with, you know, being kicked out, being wrong by the system, then that will definitely bring more sympathy from people.
Hey, if he started the Tucker News Network and you had to pay $10 a month, I would go ahead and put down a $10 bill every month.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And he might have more options that way. I know he would have more options that way. He could talk about more things than ever before and deeper into topics.
Right,
for him
and
to get away.
All this was not about Ray Epps or any of that other Dominion lawsuit stuff. That has nothing to do with this.
Yeah. Sure, you're right. At this point, it makes more sense what you said with a Murdoch guy having a personal vendetta. That, hey, if
I
were someone like Tucker Carlson...
I just can't believe at 92 years old, it's not like he's going to be there much longer, and he's offended that people have a God that they believe in.
Right.
Why doesn't he own
yeah.
CNN then? They don't care about that stuff.
Yeah, good point. And if I was someone like Tucker Carlson, I wouldn't want to be associated with Fox News either. Worse CNN, but just nearly as bad as Fox News Channel. I wouldn't want that association either.
Well, the only thing CNN has going for it is that they have new ownership.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So we'll see what direction the new ownership of CNN goes, but
yeah
the stuff that people would watch on Fox, they don't care anymore. So, I mean, you still have some diehard Sean Hannity fans and such, but it's not that much.
Yeah. There are plenty of people in a certain generation who love to have the news on 24/7. Have it play, the TV's on and it's constantly going in the background, and that's the demographic that I would like to see actually have some of their bubbles burst. Oh, maybe this is not the truth. Maybe I'm being told some sort of propaganda. So who knows? Maybe this will help to open up some eyes.
As somebody, obviously, that deals in news and talk and journalism and such, I'm not a huge fan of the 24-hour news networks like they are now.
No, terrible. They're trying to fill up time and space. Pretty ridiculous.
And I don't know what else you can do about it, because I realize that it is a news network, and
right.
Finding hosts is hard. I realize that.
Right. So that's why they'll report on things that really are not newsworthy, or glamorize, or make it out to be more than it actually is, so that they can keep their viewership, have people tuning in.
It's kind of like ESPN, and on parts of the day where there's no sports to talk about, they'll have things like a Scrabble championship.
Oh my goodness, a Scrabble championship? Huh. Yeah, I don't have ESPN, but dang, that's pretty desperate. Yeah.
I take it you're not a Scrabble fan.
Oh, I've played Scrabble. Yes. Scrabble's fun, but a tournament, I didn't even know those existed, and that sounds a little bit...
Well, that's how I found out about it, because I went to one once.
Oh, really? Was it just as dull as it sounds, or was it exciting?
I thought it was cool. This was back in Long
Island,
though.
Oh.
It's funny, because you could use profanities in the game, and someone spelled asshole... And they got they added an S onto one of the other words, and then they got their 50 points for using all 7 of their tiles plus whatever the points were.
Huh.
Ever since then, I'm like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, I can't imagine watching people play Scrabble. Now, playing it yourself is a different story, but yeah, again, I'm not a sports fan. I find it all to be interesting to me to sit and watch people back and forth with stuff. That has no, it just doesn't interest me, never has, but yeah, there's some things. I don't know if you've ever seen curling. Have you ever watched
game
curling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the weirdest sports to watch.
Yeah. When the Olympics came to Utah, my youngest son, who's going to be 30 this year, was in third grade, and we went on a field trip to watch curling, and just so dull, just boring, and they were very into it. I didn't know any of the rules. That probably would have helped
to know. It's so boring, it's funny. That's the difference.
Yeah. I think the most interesting part of that whole night, it was an afternoon into an evening, was the bagpipes that played beforehand. They had a whole bagpipe band, and they walked down the ice. They played Scotland Forever and, I don't know, probably a couple of other tunes. I don't remember now, but, yeah, I love bagpipes, so that was fun to watch. But, again, I'm not a sports lover, so anytime I think of sitting and watching somebody do something like play chess or Scrabble or curling or bowling or something, it just, yeah.
Well, you don't recognize bowling as a sport?
Oh, it's a sport. It's just, I guess it's not as interesting to me, is what I'm trying to say. No, it's all competition. It's all a sport, seeing who can,
Vegas for like 25 years now. I've seen different kind of championships that come to Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
One I remember is that there's a Connect Four championship.
Wow.
So you could be a professional Connect Four player.
Wow. Okay. Not to disparage anybody who loves to play games competitively, professionally like that. But to sit in the audience and watch it would be just not interesting to me. Now give me live music, going to a concert, being in the general admission in the pit, that's a different experience. Watching people play and hearing the music sounds interesting, but my mom was really actually great at a lot of sports. She was a professional bowler. She was in different leagues around my area, and she was really good. Like, I spent a lot of time as a child watching her play, watching her bowl. And she was also into softball and was a coach for a softball team. And she was so into it, all about that. And it just never, it just dumped me, it just skipped me completely, we'll put it that way.
So there's also, believe it or not, the World Championship of Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Wow. I guess I do believe it, but I'm...
That used to be at the Riviera, I remember, before the Riviera went out.
Oh. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of, have you seen that show, Vegas Vacation?
No.
Have you seen that show with Chevy Chase? Oh. Pretty funny. He goes to a casino, it's supposed to be in Vegas, and it's stuff like that where they're guessing games.
And it's the one with Mandy.
Sorry,
let's,
say that again.
I was trying to find you a video, but it got loud immediately, so.
Oh.
I mean, I could play it, I guess.
Okay.
Just so you know that there is a such thing as a rock, paper, scissors championship.
Oh,
and this one was at the here in Las Vegas, so I'll go ahead and play it. It's like 4 minutes.
Okay.
Rock, rock, rock. America's top two RPS phenoms are coming onto the stage for a hands-down showdown, the greatest duel in sports. There's Jamie Landshark Langridge. He's been unflinching all night, shattering scissors, suffocating rock, and slicing paper, but oh my goodness! He stumbles getting into the ring rope.
Not a good sign at all, Dre. He's obviously highly fatigued, and he better get his motor skills under control because there's no margin for error here.
Don't lose it now, fella. There's his opponent, the Brain Borné. David's been mind-numbing all night long, but more importantly, will he step into the ring? No problem. All right. Gives our RPS girl a hug, and yes, great form, and he makes it clean.
Well, that bodes well for Borné, along with the crowd on his side. But his throw count is higher than Jamie.
So you're saying fatigue could be an issue?
It could be.
Here we go. Borné subliminally calls for Rock. Langridge is all over it, slices paper for the point.
I think Jamie's picked up on the tell. How will Borné handle this?
Oh, you hear him saying please to induce paper.
Engage.
Oh, and again, the Landshark takes advantage. Jamie Langridge one set away from the title, and look, he's finally got the crowd on his side.
Borné, the subliminal seducer, must throw flawlessly from here on in.
You can say that three times fast, by the way. Are you still mind numb? Borné says sweet for scissors, a pivotal throw to say the least.
No, rock tie. I am really surprised that Langridge didn't throw a paper there. What would you have done, Trey?
I don't have a clue.
Competitors ready? Engage.
Well, hold on. Phil stops the action. What happened, Rose?
Well, they got a bit out of sync. Let's see it again.
Prize will be perfect.
Yep, that's what they call working on the railroad. A great call from Phil Gordon. It's imperative the players stay completely in sync here.
No, Phil has been in control of this match since the first contest. Rock and roll is the message from Borné.
0-0, second set. Engage.
And Jamie throws the rock. David gets the point, and did he just put an illegal substance on his throwing pants?
It's more of an unwritten rule. But the key here is that Jamie might be overthinking. He's expecting another false tell from Borné.
I don't know what to think from Borné anymore.
Jamie got what he was looking for and is now one throw away from the title. Now, that may look like good sportsmanship, but they're really trying to steal out a tell. Great RPS players can do that, Trey.
Borné's exhausted, but he's still mind-numbing. Asking for paper.
Engage.
And it works. He ties it up.
One set apiece.
It does not get any closer than this. RPS for the ages. Never will a champion be so envied and so ridiculed simultaneously.
Nice clean throw now. Engage.
Don't rock tie. Wow, these players are obviously tired. You know, rock is less strenuous. It's a preformed throw. These players have punched themselves out.
And?
Let's see what happens here.
Okay.
Scissors tie. Tremendous stuff.
RPS is a game of patterns. And we're seeing that right here.
But who can break the pattern and win it all?
Okay.
Oh, Jamie sticks with scissors. He's on the verge of making history. What a clutch throw.
This is what it's all about, baby. These are the moments where sports legends are made.
If Jamie wins this throw, it's over. Look at the concentration.
Ready? Engage.
And there it is. The paper around the world. Jamie Landshark Langridge has done the unthinkable. Odessa, Texas. Pop your collar. It's time to party.
David Borné completely taken out of his game here. What a heartbreaking finish for this competitor.
But Langridge has won over this crowd. Look at him. They love him now.
Everyone wants to touch that undefeated hand. One day we'll see it in the Rock, Paper, Scissors Hall of Fame right beside my picture.
And there's his wife joining in the celebration.
Total intensity as Jamie simply baffles David with a slick piece of paper.
We need to get that man his money. Leanne, do your thing.
So, that's a thing.
Oh, my gosh. I watched part of the video that you sent me, and, okay, I don't know what's more comical, being a competitor or being a commentator for this. Lighten that paper. Lighten that paper. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's, I've never heard of that being a competition. Wow.
No, I don't know. I don't know where they do it anymore.
Oh, it's just too funny. And that was a full crowd too. Do you think those are people who are fans? They're actually fans of this competition, or do you think for the theater part of this video, they had to gather people together and say like, "Hey, get excited." Oh, man. I can't. Be funny.
Yeah, I never thought I would play that on my show.
Well, I learned something new tonight. I definitely, it's good comedy. Very comical.
All right, I'm uploading another clip right now, but this is more news-based.
Okay.
But Tucker Carlson was talking about this on one of his, I think his last show, or one of his last ones, where he was saying, what if my pillow was a required purchase in the United States, and MyPillow funded it, and you would say that was a conflict of interest.
Yes.
But somehow, Pfizer demanding that everybody get their gene therapy, or that's illegal to not have your gene therapy, that's a conflict of interest.
Yep, exactly. And not to mention how many programs are on TV, news programs, that they're sponsored by Pfizer. Interesting.
Yeah. All right, let me see if it's ready yet.
Okay.
No, hold on. I gotta. Oh, it is. Okay. Well, let's listen to it.
Cool.
Health and safety factor here far outweighs the concern about shutting people out or creating a barrier.
That was Karen Freeman Wilson, president of the Chicago Urban League, speaking on Chicago-based WTTW News, dispelling any notion that COVID vaccine-related employer mandates would shut out black and brown communities.
That comment was the subject of independent journalist Lee Fong's recent Substack piece examining how pharmaceutical giant Pfizer was behind funding groups like the Chicago Urban League heavily lobbying for COVID vaccine mandates. He found that Pfizer gave $100,000 to the organization, which is not the only organization Pfizer gave cash to. Now, here to discuss the expansive financial effort to Pfizer went to in supporting groups like the Chicago Urban League is author of that piece, Lee Fong. Great to see you, Lee.
Hey, Robbie. Thanks for having me. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing just fine. Exciting week it's been. Tell us more about your reporting and what you've found here. We're very interested in efforts that, you know, all sorts of individuals and organizations made, but particularly Pfizer itself, to promote the vaccine.
Yeah, so this piece looks at exclusive documents that detail Pfizer's donations to outside third-party organizations and really looking at their role in lobbying for policies that compelled people to take the COVID vaccine. You know, in 2021, there were a number of city, state, and the federal government's COVID vaccine mandate really compelling and coercing people to take the vaccine. There were not exemptions for prior infection or natural immunity. This was a very controversial policy. And part of the lobbying effort to build public support and policymaker support for this COVID vaccine mandate was the role of these community groups, civil rights groups, medical societies, public health organizations. A lot of these groups were very visible in pushing for the mandate. And like the Urban League was one of them, they did not disclose that they were funded at the time by Pfizer. And, you know, I was looking at some of these specialized grants. They were funded in particular to promote immunizations, promote the vaccine, to kind of dispel myths about the vaccine, to engage in legislative strategy, you know, related to Pfizer. So, you know, this is kind of a long-time strategy of big pharma. Drug companies have been under scrutiny for their role in funding third-party groups that kind of create the appearance of public support for their products. But this is kind of an extreme example because, you know, this is the most lucrative pharmaceutical product perhaps in human history. This is a very controversial policy opposed by many civil libertarians, labor groups, and others. But the role of Pfizer funding this outside support for the mandate hasn't been disclosed until now.
Yeah, this is such an interesting one because earlier in the pandemic, there was this sensitivity to the idea that Black Americans in particular have had a complicated relationship with the, you know, medical industry because of instances like the Tuskegee experiment being experimented on, injected with a disease, not being told, et cetera. And that the way, the posture that the government took toward encouraging people to make use of a vaccine, which did dramatically lower hospitalization rates, especially in those early days before people had had any kind of booster or protection at all, was to not browbeat Black people or not to kind of smear them the way that I think that some more conservative-leaning people who objected to the vaccine were smeared, but to be sensitive to those concerns and to ally them by talking about safety and all of those other kinds of things. That shifted at a certain point. And there was much more of a cudgel that was used or an implication that, you know, talking about the disparities in vaccines between Black people and other people was seen as politically inconvenient. Because what, you know, if we're saying that anti-vax or non-vaxxers are bad Republican racists, what do you do with this Black population who's also expressing some concerns about vaccine hesitancy? So having a group, particularly a Black-oriented group, receive funding does help to paper over some of those tensions. And I also am concerned about it because so many, I would say, Black groups are disproportionately underfunded, have fundraising concerns. We see this with Black electeds, that they tend to come from poorer districts, have a tougher time earning money, and do tend to be more susceptible for those reasons to taking money from various corporations. When there is at time a difference of interest between the people who are giving the money and the groups that they are supposed to serve. And I wonder if you've seen anything about whether or not there were any concerns about Black people in Chicago potentially losing their jobs, having economic consequences as a result of not wanting to take the vaccine and being subject to an actual mandate.
No, we know that the mandate created the firing of thousands of workers across the country. I don't know if we have a racial breakdown, but we do know that, you know, in municipalities like New York City and D.C., San Francisco, and others, there was kind of a racial disparity in terms of who was taking the vaccine, who was not kind of abiding by these mandates. There was kind of a disproportionate effect. But, you know, you're right. There was kind of early in the pandemic, there was a concern and I think a very nuanced discussion about, you know, what are the legitimate fears and concerns around the vaccine? What's the most kind of effective way to talk about these issues and to persuade? But by 2021, summer of 2021, like a lot of the COVID discourse, it was very polarized, you know, just like how in the media, any kind of discussion around the origins of COVID became very polarized. You know, if you had kind of any suspicions about a lab leak, you were condemned as, you know, a bigot or, you know, a Trumper. You know, concerns around vaccine mandates similarly became polarized. You know, you were condemned as a racist or, you know, an extremist or an anti-vaxxer. You know, there are many benefits to the vaccine. You know, now that we see there's a lot of research and studies showing that the Pfizer vaccine and others reduce kind of the severeness, especially in elderly, more kind of vulnerable populations. There's great benefits to that. But rather than having kind of a detailed discussion based on the scientific research, it became kind of a polarized discussion of, you know, you're either with us or against us, not looking at the research showing that, look, a lot of the claims around from proponents selling the vaccine saying, you know, this will end the pandemic. Once you take the vaccine, you know, there's no chance of transmission. You can't get COVID. That was wrong. That was not supported by the evidence. Those claims by the administration and others were disputed at the time. And now, you know, years out, it looks clearly false. But, you know, we're in a moment of kind of hysteria around these issues, and you couldn't have a sober discussion.
Yeah, that is the crux of this matter, that the people pushing not just the vaccine, but being open to policies actually requiring it in the various places it was required. It was required for many workers. It was required for some schools. It still, to this day, is required, the bivalent booster on some college campuses. When they go back in the fall, they'll have to take it. And the justification was a public health benefit, not for yourself, but you have to take this because this is going to drive down cases. In the long run, the people making that, the public health establishment, the government health scientists and advisors, and Pfizer itself, its boosters, and the media, and you know, everyone pressuring tech companies to toe that line on social media, like you said, that all ended up being wrong. And I don't know if there's going to be any reckoning. You know, Dr. Fauci, there was an article, he was interviewed in the New York Times yesterday, we talked about it. And he's asked some pretty pointed questions about that, about herd immunity, about all sorts of things. And I sensed very little accountability from him personally. You know, you've been on kind of the looking at the Pfizer side of things. Can you sense any reckoning within the company itself on how this vaccine was not necessarily sold under false pretenses, but certainly the necessity of requiring it was pushed under premises that turned out to be wrong?
Well, there are a couple things here. You know, when you're a big corporation, an oil company, a bank, or a big tech company, you know, the public is suspicious for a very good reason. You know, these corporations exist to make profit, not to serve the public interest. And so to build public support for their lobbying strategies, for their other kind of goals in society, they often use this playbook of funding outside groups with much more credibility, like here with Pfizer funding civil rights organizations and public health organizations, medical societies. And, you know, in Congress, we're now seeing a lot of interesting questions being raised about the role of these COVID policies. Were they based on sound scientific and medical evidence? The problem here, I think, is tension around money and politics. Republicans in Congress are quick to kind of investigate the CDC and other public health agencies, but they're a little bit more reluctant so far in investigating big corporate interests. You know, they haven't really subpoenaed the big biopharma lobbying groups like Bio and Pharma. I haven't seen the kind of strident investigations of Pfizer itself. I think there's a great opportunity to really understand the way that these policies were crafted, the role of large pharma corporations in shaping the public debate, shaping these regulatory policies, shaping even just the discourse by funding these groups that were very visible in the media back in 2021, 2022. I think that's TBD. It's yet to be determined.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're on that beat, Lee. Thank you for always following the money so assiduously. I look forward to seeing your future reporting on this subject.
Thanks for having me.
More Rising after this.
All right, so we're back.
Nice to hear some criticism of Pfizer. That's good. I mean, it seems to me like when you're a monopoly, yes, there are other pharmaceutical companies that definitely have all their money-making injections, but Pfizer seems to be the top one for whatever reason.
Even worse than Moderna?
Seems to be, because I feel like Pfizer has there are many, many other vaccines, if you want to call them that, injections, toxic injections. They seem to have the market cornered in that area. But, and then not to mention their other dealings, other pharmaceutical, like prescriptions and just all, yes, they have the market cornered.
All right, let's see. What are we feeling about right now?
Pharmaceutical companies pharmaceuticals are the biggest lobbyists now in Washington over oil and gas. course, it's been like that for a while, but when you have the most power, the most lobbying power, of course, you're going to have a monopoly.
Let's see here. Oh, I wanted to share this from the Vermont School District today. So the Vermont School District, you're no longer allowed to use male and female.
Oh, nice. Great.
You're down to sperms and eggs.
You got to be kidding me. Oh, my gosh.
All right, if you think I'm joking.
Wow. Sperms and eggs, huh? I'm just reading what you sent me.
Oh, go ahead.
A person who produces sperm, person who produces eggs. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Just disturbing on so many levels.
So what's so do you produce sperm or eggs? That's not something that I think the average American is willing to discuss like that.
Let's hope not. Is that very, yeah. Person who produces sperm in place of boy, male, assigned male at birth. Person who produces eggs in place of girl, female, and assigned female at birth. Wow, and that is from a school district. Oh, I hope teachers and parents alike call out this crap.
So instead of male and female, we're going to say sperm and eggs.
Yeah.
So tell us about yourself. Well, I have sperms. Yeah, that is not going to be a very good conversation.
So tell me about the person that produces eggs that you're dating. My gosh. I can't even
imagine. But you don't
know
what a woman is, but you produce eggs.
Right.
Okay.
Oh. Children are being indoctrinated to deny biological reality, and it's happening right now in school districts across the nation. Dang, this is so interesting. Yeah, I'd like to say that's fake, but obviously here it is in black and white.
Yeah, I don't know if I could have a conversation with somebody after they tell me that they produce sperms.
Yeah, that's pretty sickening. It's not okay to say mother, you have to say birthing person. It's not okay to say breastfeeding, you have to say chest feeding. And now just completely sterilize everything by bringing it down to the most biological function that you can even come up with. Well, what about those women who have had hysterectomies and they don't produce eggs anymore? What about them? What about a man who's had a vasectomy, or I guess he's still producing sperm. What about a man who's had an accident or had testicular cancer and had to have testes removed? They're not thinking about everyone, are they?
No.
Not very inclusive. Well, I sent you a screenshot about a recent finding in Germany. I don't know if you had a chance to read that little synopsis.
Oh, I saw that. I saw it right now when you sent it.
Yes. So this has happened before, actually. A doctor, a virologist, actually, in Germany, proved in a court of law in Germany that measles virus does not exist. So there's no virus associated with measles. It's never been isolated. It's never been proven to be contagion. It's never been proven. And so in a court of law in Germany, this German doctor proved that it doesn't exist. And again, here we are in Germany looking at their most recent health findings that there is no proof that current seeing is actually real. Like what they call COVID-19, whatever they're calling it now, there's no scientific proof that it exists.
No, but don't worry, they're still producing the gene therapies for it.
For sure. That's
actually
really the name of the game.
The Pfizer and the Moderna ones were shelved. But don't worry, they're going to have brand new gene therapies out later this summer.
That's right.
Because they'll say the other ones didn't work, but don't worry, these ones will.
Exactly. Yeah, they just
pushed the gene therapies as far as they would go. So now they have to come out with a new plan.
And it'll be something ridiculous like a trivalent of COVID and flu and pneumonia or shingles. Something stupid that they can push off onto people.
Yeah.
And people will line up for sure. They'll be like, oh, save me time and effort. You can just go get all three in one time. Oh, sweet.
That'll be just as safe as the MMR vaccine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nothing wrong could happen there.
I'm sure Robert F. Kennedy would approve.
Yeah. Oh, he does, man. That would be game over, but no. Did you ever read anything or read any excerpts of his book, The Real Anthony Fauci?
No, I skimmed over the book once because one of our show hosts let me stay over their house, and she bought the book and was out of town and left it for me to read. So I looked over it, but I didn't, like, study it or anything.
Right. Well, there's some good, compelling evidence in there against Fauci as a quote-unquote doctor. He's fake. And I can appreciate Kennedy's work on that behalf. I bought it on Kindle when it first was released so I could make sure what was being said, and so I don't own a paperback, but I have an electronic copy. So it seems pretty straightforward that way. Not that Fauci has to answer for his crimes against humanity. Wouldn't that be nice? But that will never happen.
Sorry, I'm going through my stuff here to see what I feel like getting into tonight.
No worries. The doctor's name that proved if measles virus doesn't exist, his name is Stefan Lonka, Dr. Stefan Lonka in Germany. So if anybody's listening to this, you can look up his work. He's currently alive. He's still living, surprisingly. They haven't tried to take him out yet. Or maybe they've tried, but they haven't been successful. And I've heard well-translated versions of his interviews many times over, and he's pretty dang brilliant. So this is what he describes viruses as, for anybody who's interested, from this virologist in Germany, whose measles doesn't exist. This is a quote from him. When cells die, they are broken down into submicroscopic particles some of which virologists arbitrarily label viruses. Anyone who closely analyzes what virologists actually do in the laboratory to, quote-unquote, prove that these particles they call viruses cause disease will easily see the absurdity of their conclusions. So typically what's happening is, even in the camp of certain natural doctors, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr., that they are saying that, well, of course this virus has been isolated. That's what they're making the vaccine from. So of course it's been isolated. But then when you actually look at what's happening, there's no isolation. It's a concoction. It's a formula of a bunch of different dead cellular debris and some antibiotics, and it's not some purified form like people would hope that it would be. So it's something that most people in that, even in the medical freedom community, aren't willing to look at or accept that maybe, you know, the gene therapy is absolutely what it sounds like. It's a bunch of genetic components mixed together with a bunch of toxins and DNA from other DNA from animals. And it's going to cause havoc in your body, of course. And it's just like every other vaccine.
Oh, they're now making baby formula with bug exoskeletons.
Oh, nice. I'm sure they're calling it high in protein.
Yeah, how'd you know?
Lucky guess. It's going to be high in protein. It's going to be fortified. Fortified. Yeah. High in protein, fortification, sure.
Yeah, even though the bug exoskeletons are not edible, but they're gonna force it.
Oh, so that means they'll also say that it's high in fiber because it's not digestible. They'll call it something like, they'll say it's fortified with extra protein and fiber from the exoskeletons. I guarantee you that's what it's gonna say on the label.
Hmm. Yeah, it's only 8 o'clock.
Yeah. It's 8 o'clock your time. 9 o'clock mine.
Oh, I know we left a few minutes early last show, but that was just a few minutes early. It just feels like 11:30 already over here.
Yeah. Has it been a long week for you as well?
I didn't think it was.
Oh. But tonight's dragging on. Sorry. Wish I had lots of extra interesting things to talk about.
Well, we can listen to Russell Brand talk about Robert F. Kennedy here in just a moment.
Okay. He's always fun to listen to.
It's uploading right now.
Sounds good.
All right, it's still uploading here. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's being slow. So, yeah, if you have anything, go ahead and share for a minute. Otherwise, we'll have some silence.
Oh, let's see. Well, I mean, there's always something to talk about in the natural health world. already talked about viruses not being real. that can go many different ways, but of course there are different, like, you know, I'm into certain resonance testing. I like the bioresonance machine that I use, and also my AquaCure, and I did a treatment on some friends today with my AquaCure, and they're both very scientific minded. They have their skepticism, but they also have that open mindedness to welcome in other ideas. And they both came away from an AquaCure treatment feeling as though they had better sleep quality. They both took naps, they said, and felt like my one friend has, the wife out of the couple, has sleep apnea, and she's curious if it helps with sleep apnea because she hasn't had any recurring symptoms today since she had the treatment. So I've been researching more about that. How does that apply to sleep apnea, the expanded hydrogen, the plasma water, how that applies? So that's basically where my research has been going today. How does the fourth state of water, plasma, work for specific things like, say, sleep apnea or any chronic issue?
All right, let's see if it's ready. All right, the Russell Brand is ready, and then we have Joe Rogan after.
Good news! Joe Biden's running again, even though a former CIA head says he helped Biden with corruption. Even though Biden was suspiciously visiting Ukraine when Hunter was getting a job at a Ukrainian energy company. Democracy! Hooray! 4 more years! Hello there, you 6.4 million wonders. Thanks for joining me on this voyage towards awakening. Together we grow stronger. Together we can confront the corrupt powers that surround us. Together we can confront this centralizing authoritarian force that doesn't want us even having conversations like this one. Hit that notification bell right now. It's the only way that you will receive the content we make daily. We do a longer show on Rumble every day. It's fantastic. You'll love it. I know I will see you there. Perhaps under the glorious presidency of Joe Biden 2024. Let's see how the mainstream are handling this.
First tonight, President Biden making it official he is running, well aware of concerns about his age. He hopes the American people will let him, quote, finish the job.
President Biden came into this term as the oldest person in U.S. history to assume the role. And if he wins re-election and is sworn in, he'll break his own record at 82 years of age.
That's not a good record. Now I'm older still, and I'm still in charge. The problem with the presidency of Joe Biden is not a personal issue. It's because he's an emblem of institutionalized power. He is an emblem of a Democrat Party that shuts down, even within its own ranks, alternative voices in order to ensure ongoing hegemony. The problem with Joe Biden is the way that he's funded. It's his past. It's what he stands for. It's that he is the very epitome of a career politician that will say whatever's necessary while ultimately legislating on behalf of his donors. There's so many problems with Joe Biden. We've not got time to list all of them, but what we'll focus on is a former CIA head saying that he helped Joe Biden make the Hunter Biden laptop story look like Russian disinformation when it was true from the beginning, and that potentially Hunter Biden's ties to Ukrainian energy companies were greatly assisted by his father. Just imagine for a moment that these were stories about Donald Trump, who I also don't think is the solution. I know some of you do. Imagine how much saturated media coverage this will get. Donald Trump Jr. is working with a Ukrainian energy company, Burisma. Donald Trump was visiting Ukraine to get him that job, potentially. That story would be everywhere, all of the time. The problem, I say, with the liberal establishment is their fetishization of the small differences between them and more overtly corrupt political entities.
Now, despite concerns of his handling of the economy and his age, it does appear President Biden is looking to face those challenges head on and is prepared for another 4 years at the White House.
He's not facing the problems head on. He's just carrying on being president, even though he's much too old and apparently much too corrupt. Even in a system that allows a certain degree of corruption, maybe his corruption is egregious. Certainly a former head of the CIA seems to be saying so.
In the final weeks of the 2020 presidential campaign, the New York Post reported on the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop, alleging he used his father's position for personal gain, a claim the president's son has denied. Less than a week later, more than 50 former intelligence officials released a statement that the laptop had all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation.
Our own conversations with journalists like Michael Schellenberger have educated us and helped us to understand that this is how the system works. What happens is someone says, you might want to watch out for some laptop stories. They're disinformation, I tells you. Then when that story breaks, because they already know that story's about to break, you regard it as misinformation. What happened is, allegedly, Joe Biden or his administrative team contacted the CIA and said, could you put together a letter with 50 signatories from the CIA saying that this story is Russian disinformation. So when the story broke, the Biden administration went and said, hey, this is nothing to do with us. The CIA are saying that it's disinformation, misinformation, malinformation. The fact is, it was a strategy to prevent a very damaging story influencing the public and prevent them from voting for the Biden administration. The idea that he would stand again is ridiculous. Notice that these categories of misinformation, malinformation, and disinformation are being escalated, elevated, that we're all hearing about them all the time, simply so there are means, methods, and opportunities to control and censor the type of data we get access to. Not to protect us, but to control the information that we see and the type of decisions we might make, the opinions we might form.
According to a letter released Thursday night from the Republican chairman of the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees, former CIA Deputy Director Michael Morell told congressional investigators, the days after the laptop story, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, then a Biden campaign advisor, reached out to Morell and set in motion the events that led to the intelligence official's public statement.
The problem is you start to feel like you've heard this story 1,000 times. The problem is you start to find it hard to engage in this information because really it just confirms something that you've long sensed, that the system is completely corrupt. The politicians that are in charge of you are corrupt and are in league with corporate and financial interests, that they use the deep state to control the media, and that the idea that they're being offered to you as a fresh alternative is ridiculous. The CIA acted on behalf of the president in controlling a story that could have affected the outcome of an election. Allegedly. The fact is this, only through the imposition of centralized authority, through censorship, through new regulations to be able to lock people down, the ability to control social media spaces, can the inertia towards devolution be stopped. All of us are starting to realize now that the Republican Party and the Democrat Party are both corrupt, that career politicians are not the answer, that there needs to be significant changes in our economic, financial, and sociological system, and that neither of those parties are going to deliver that change. The media and the government broadly are trying now to impose narratives that confine our conversation to convenient framing for them. No one wants the rise of new independent media voices, the rise of new independent political movements, because that is precisely what's required to end this kind of institutional corruption. The idea that there could be an election in 2024 between two elderly men, neither of whom are going to meaningfully change the system, is ridiculous and tells us the deeper truth that we all need to come to terms with. The system is dying. But that's not the only shady deal involving the Biden family. There's the laptop, there's the control of the story around the laptop, but what about its contents? What about the financial relationships between the Biden family and Ukrainian energy companies? We would not be able to make this fantastic content without our sponsors. That's why I've got to ask you right now, and I need an honest answer. Do you suffer from brain fog, distraction, fatigue? Do you? Is there a secret elixir that can give you energy, vim, chutzpah, moxie, get up and go get 'em? Yes, there bloody well is. Hike. With just 2 capsules a day, you can enjoy clarity, focus, sleep, calm. Each capsule is packed with all the vegan omega-3s and vitamins B, C and D that we need to support our frankly fragile mental health. Heights couldn't be further away from the evils of Big Pharma. They're all about transparency. Look, you can even see through the capsule. That's transparency. All the ingredients are in the most bioavailable form, so your body can absorb and use them. No synthetic crap, just pure, unadulterated goodness.
Get a head start and use brand 15 for 15% off your first box of Heights Smart Supplement. That's brand 15 for 15% off your first box of Heights Smart Supplement. Trust me, your brain and your body will thank you. Now, let's go back to other version of me talking about the government, big tech, the military-industrial complex, and things that are a lot more opaque than this. Then Vice President Joe Biden visited Ukraine on a mission to bolster the country's energy industry days after his son Hunter joined the board of natural gas company Burisma in 2014, which a former White House stenographer claims implicates the now 8-year-old in a foreign influence peddling kickback scheme.
So I'm sitting back there with a tape recorder. Jake Sullivan comes back and somebody asks him about fracking. His answer is, well, we're bringing a lot of American assistance over for fracking. Burisma was the direct beneficiary of that fracking. At the time, Hunter Biden was on the board of Burisma, and Joe Biden is bringing American taxpayer money to enrich that company and himself and his family.
But that's only two members of the Biden family that are demonstrably corrupt, it appears. There's still probably loads of other Bidens that are completely reliable. On Monday, House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer revealed we've identified six additional members of Joe Biden's family who may have benefited from the Biden family's businesses that we are investigating, bringing the total number of those involved or benefiting to 9. Last month, Comer announced his committee had found evidence that at least 3 Biden family members and 2 associates received payments that originated from China in 2017, fewer than 2 months after Joe Biden left office as Barack Obama's vice president. Bank records subpoenaed by the committee show that State Energy HK Limited, a firm affiliated with Chinese Communist Party-backed energy company CEFC, China Energy, wired $3 million to Biden family associate Rob Walker in March 2017, who then divvied it up over a period of about 3 months, Comer said. It appeared that first son Hunter Biden received about $610,000 in payments as part of the 2017 deal, while first brother James Biden got roughly $360,000 and the president's daughter-in-law, Haley Biden, received $25,000. The panel's March memo also enlisted an unknown Biden, who received 4 payments in 2017, totaling $70,000. Hunter Biden's longtime business partner, Eric Schwerin, made at least 8 visits to the White House in 2016, bringing his total number of visits during the Obama Biden administration to 27. Is this good enough for you as a system of government? Is this good enough to warrant another 4 years of Biden administration? Are you willing to accept that degree of nepotism and corruption? If you are a Democrat supporter, would you not be appalled if the same exact things were being said of the Trump family? What does it say about our political systems more broadly that we just accept this kind of corruption, that it almost kind of bores us? What it shows you is that Joe Biden is the perfect symbol for where American democracy is right now. The appearance of general conviviality, but deep state corruption when it comes to the misuse of CIA powers, inappropriate financial behavior when it comes to members of his own family, a peculiar coincidence that soon after these connections with Ukraine and China, there are wars that involve those countries on the horizon. It doesn't instill a great deal of trust, does it? It seems that the media and American politics more broadly are in alliance with one another in some desperate attempt to maintain some kind of centralized status quo, when all of the evidence points to the dawning of a new political era, more devolution, more decentralization, a new experimentation with federalism. It's time, I think, to consider some radically different political solutions. How can you be motivated to get out and vote, let alone be excited about the potential for voting for Joe Biden in 2024, knowing that whether or not these actions are legal, they certainly feel corrupt. They're certainly not the kind of political leaders that we're going to require if we're going to change the world. How do these kind of stories make you feel about your political system? How do they make you feel about your media? How do they make you feel about deep state involvement in managing the outcomes of an election at a time when people are super excited that Fox is about to pay out a bunch of money because of saying untrue things about Dominion voting machines? It shows you that even when you can't demonstrate electoral fraud, the whole system is fraudulent anyway. So what's the point in it? And people will criticize me for encouraging voter apathy. Oh, this is what leads to people not voting. Now, what leads to people not voting is there's nothing worth voting for. There's no one worth investing in. The media is totally corrupt. And I am actually advocating for real, passionate, genuine change instead of continuing down this line of atrophying corruption? What are we trapped in? Some sort of abusive relationship where we allow ourselves to be treated like this and then continue voting for them and advocating for them? Surely it's time for new independent voices. What's wrong with breaking up these systems that are only there to serve the kind of financial corruption and deep state collusion that these stories demonstrate? There is the possibility now for new parties. The Republican Party aren't going to deliver real change. The Democrat Party aren't going to deliver real change. These dear, sweet, doddering old sods are going to give you nothing but the same old corruption. It's time for new, independent political voices. And now there is the technology and the media to carry their message. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the comments below. If you enjoyed this video, have a look at either of these. Turn on the notification bell, but more important than any of that, if you can, please, stay free.
This narrative that there's only one way to deal with this and that this way is actually going to stop it. Well, if it is going to stop it, why do you care who gets it? You should just get it. Because if you get it, that means that no one else is going to. You're never going to get it. Everybody who gets the shot is never going to get it. That was the narrative. That was a lie from the beginning. And now we're realizing that it was a lie. Everybody realizes it was a lie now. Like, I was talking to someone last night that had COVID really f***ing bad after being vaccinated. Like, really bad. 2 weeks wrecked.
So I have a great friend, and his daughter, college, gets the shot. She ends up in the emergency room, and she's got blood clots on her liver. And they're all like, you know, what do you think of it? Well, you know, she rows a lot on the row team, and Are you really going to believe that's what it was?
Well, people do anything to not blame it on the vaccine. Like, when there's an injury, like, people want to find all sorts of other reasons.
That was Joe Rogan making some comments about vaccine injuries, which come as new NBC News reporting details the allegedly thousands of Americans who say that they have symptoms of life-altering tinnitus ringing in the ears after they took the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, as of Sunday, at least 16,000 people had filed complaints with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that they'd developed tinnitus, or ringing in their ears, after receiving a vaccine. The CDC conducted internal reviews of the reports. They did not find any data specifically suggesting a link between COVID-19 vaccines and tinnitus, according to an agency spokesperson.
Hmm. Despite the CDC's findings, researchers like Xiaowen Bao, an associate professor at the physiology department of the College of Medicine at the University of Arizona, Tucson, are beginning to dive deeper into the possible link, according to the NBC News report. Bao, who has been studying tinnitus for over a decade, was convinced to look into the issue after getting messages on Facebook. After surveying roughly 400 cases from the online group, along with ringing in their ears, participants reported a range of other symptoms, including headaches, dizziness, vertigo, ear pain, anxiety, and depression. Significantly more people first developed tinnitus after the first dose of the vaccine compared with the second. So far, Bao believes that ongoing inflammation, especially in the brain or spinal cord, may be to blame.
So this is all quite preliminary. The CDC looked into this and didn't find the evidence that you might like to see, but they also didn't release the full report. They have done that with the myocarditis claim, so you can judge for yourself. Not able to do so in this case. I was interested and frankly kind of heartened that NBC News, a very textbook mainstream outlet, is taking this concern very seriously, wrote this pretty good news article about it. You know, want to apply a lot of caution here because tinnitus, again, ringing in the ears, is something that actually a lot of Americans suffer
apparently
from.
Apparently 25% of Americans
right.
suffer from it, and there's this question.
Some degree of it. Might not be severe tinnitus.
Sure. And these people are registering severe symptoms
yes.
That apparently manifest after their first shot.
Including that doctor looking into it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's worth noting that a lot of people are going to experience these symptoms anyway, and that it might be you have these preconditions for tinnitus that are perhaps exacerbated by the vaccine. Obviously, we don't know if people are looking into it. But it is worth noting that, one, the CDC hasn't found a link yet, although, as you pointed out, they haven't released the review the way they have in the context of myocarditis and other side effects. that 16,000 complainants, which is about the number we have here, equals about one in every 15,000 vaccinated Americans. So again, the odds are relatively low still. Mm-hmm. And again, 25% of people are going to.
But that's just the number of people, you know, who actually went ahead and reported to the CDC, "I'm having bad tinnitus and I got vaccinated." There are probably a lot more people out there who have tinnitus or got tinnitus, maybe it was after a vaccine, and haven't reported it, so we can't.
Sure.
And maybe they were going to get tinnitus anyway, maybe they already had it, might have nothing to do with the vaccine. That's the, you know, the difficulty in looking at some of these things, including like the blood clot issue that Joe Rogan's guest was talking about there. You know, and that's a more unlikely complication, especially for a very young person who is an athlete, a rower, et cetera. You know, that's why this whole idea of requiring and forcing vaccines on people, as again many colleges have, it seems so wrongheaded to me. When you know I don't think there's a lot of really strong evidence of serious risk and serious dangers associated with the vaccines. But we also know that a lot of the things that were said by experts about the necessity of being vaccinated to keep yourself safe from infection from COVID even, did not pan out. And if we're looking at age groups where the COVID risk is very low, and maybe the vaccine risk also very, very, very low, but how can you say as like an expert or a policymaker that I'm taking that choice away from you? How could that be? That has to be to the individual to decide in consultation with their doctor. Maybe they have some precondition that makes them more at risk of blood clots or even tinnitus. Theoretically, they might make a different vaccine decision than someone else. That should absolutely be their right. It's ludicrous.
Yeah, as the benefit goes down when the risk reward calculation.
And then the social benefit going down to almost nothing.
Yeah, as the reward goes down, you don't actually have to prove that the risks are especially high to have a good argument against not pursuing a vaccine, or at least not requiring the vaccine. So that's kind of the world we are in now, where we shifted dramatically from what we had hoped the vaccines would offer in terms of protection from the virus in the early days, and especially now that people have immunity from having gotten gotten COVID, et cetera, we're in a different world. I think what was so remarkable about this piece in particular was simply the fact that it was being covered, a story like this about vaccine consequences, that vaccine side effects is being covered in a mainstream institution. As many people pointed out online, they, one, were willing to credit this story simply because it appeared in NBC. And two, the fact that it did appear in NBC, given there's been so much pushback against the idea of, like, fomenting vaccine hesitancy in the mainstream press, that they were like, well, this must really be a story. This must be really credible, because otherwise this type of institution wouldn't carry the story. Now, I don't know that that's necessarily fair. We've seen an interesting kind of opening up of discourse spaces about COVID in the last few months, whether it is the lab leak theory now being kind of a more mainstream valid theory now that it has gotten the okay from various government agencies, that it's more likely to have come from lab leak than a zoonotic origin. And now this open conversation about not COVID side effects, but COVID vaccine side effects. I mean, should we read anything at all into what appears to be a shift in the discourse?
I mean, I'm applauding this shift in the discourse, but it's just what should have been all along.
And some people are upset.
Yeah.
So there needs to be some apology. Some people are saying, I've been talking about this for a long time and I was dismissed as a crank. And still, we don't know that this is
anything. And maybe we'd be less, as a society, maybe we'd be less polarized and radicalized. Maybe people would be less, certain people would be less inclined to just disregard everything they hear from health officials because it was just so one-sided for so long. Yet, the concerns about spreading vaccine-related misinformation, I mean, content moderation decisions were made on that basis on social media platforms. We've seen that over and over again. That Facebook, for instance, essentially outsourced its content moderation to the CDC itself, and the CDC took the position that basically any claim you would make that would be negative about vaccines, even vaccines for children, is something that could cause hesitance and is not something that should be allowed. It was harmful on that basis. And that was just such a wrong way to try to control the access to information that people have. It's not a healthy way of looking at this entire debate. It was not instructive for public debate, and it's gotten to us to where we are now. So I was glad to see NBC cover this like this. I would have wanted to see coverage on all the other COVID-related issues
if the door is open, the door is open. It is also interesting timing, it seems to me, given that RFK has this new candidacy that is surging in some ways, and that the main attack that the mainstream political press seems to be making at him is the idea that he is a vaccine skeptic, talking about some of his past statements linking vaccines to autism in a way that the medical community has not linked vaccines and autism. And I think more substantively for the current moment, being very skeptical of a lot of COVID-era policies which have not necessarily stood the test of time. So if he is surging at the same time that the broader public is a lot more open to discussions about vaccine risk, vaccine skepticism and things like that, it could be rather auspicious timing for that particular candidacy.
Right, and if some in the mainstream are worried or wondering, why are people listening to RFK Jr.? Remember that Joe Biden said that if you get the vaccine, you're not going to get COVID, and that turned out not to be true.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on Rising, Brianna and I will be back right here to bring you all the biggest news of the day. Hopefully no more cable news firing. Who knows? We're holding on for dear life. No, not really.
Be sure to like, share, and subscribe so you never miss any content. And for those of you who like to listen while on the go, we are now available anywhere you listen to podcasts.
See you back here tomorrow.
Goodbye.
All right, so I thought I downloaded Joe Rogan. It says it's Joe Rogan, but
okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and call it here. I'm having a hard time staying awake.
Sounds good.
I told you about a half hour ago, I think, that I was not doing well on my end here.
Understood. Yes, it's okay. We'll call it good. We've gone over lots of things, so I think that's great.
Okay. So as long as we feel like we did enough stuff.
Always.
All right. All right, well, we'll talk again next week, unless something comes up sooner.
Sounds good.
Everyone else, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just a Truth Negative show here, but until tomorrow. Hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. And Proof Negative, I am Uber.